Hallelujah. If you have your Bible, you can go to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. Let me just finish my rant and raving up here. Let me ask you, what did you say over your finances yesterday? What did you say over your kids yesterday? What did you say over your business yesterday? What did you say over your body yesterday? Say, nothing. My question would be, why? Don't you want to have some things in your body? Don't you want to have some things in your finances? Don't you want to have some things show up in your children's lives? Don't you want to have some things in life? Jesus said, you'll have what you say. I want my kids to change. I want my money to change. I want my body to change. I want my business to change. I want my job to change. I want my situation to change. You'll have what you say. Words are powerful, praise God. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So hopefully if I ask you that question tomorrow and said, what did you say about your kids today? So I said, they're going to fulfill God's plan. They're going to walk into everything He has. My kids are blessed and highly favored. What are you saying over your money? I said, Pastor Mike, all my needs will be supplied. I'm fully funded, fully supplied. What are you saying over your body? I said, I live long, healthy, wealthy, protected, and strong on this earth. I'm not sick, I'm not broke, I'm not in danger, I'm not weak a day of my life. Health, wealth, and vitality are the mark of my life. And people say, why is he blessed? I'm saying it all the time. The more I say it, the more I'll have it. Praise God. Well, I don't know, Pastor. Just stay in your situation then. I don't care. I want you to be blessed, but whatever you want. Praise God. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Isn't it interesting? Down $2,000 a month, my pastor said, I'm not giving you any money. My pastor said, I'm not giving you a salary. And you know what he said to me? He said, you're going to sink or you're going to swim. I'm not giving you money and I'm not giving you a salary. He said, your faith is going to be the thing that's going to get you through this financial trial. Remember when I started the church almost 8 years ago in September, it'll be 8 years. He said, I'm not giving you any money. You know how I got the $2,000 a month to show up every month and how I got in 2 years, $60,000 worth of debt paid off while I was $2,000 short every month? I didn't do anything but say. That's all I did was say and believe what I said. I sat there and just said, didn't get extra job, didn't drop faith hints to the church, didn't let people know we were struggling. I just said and it came. Why? Because Jesus said, I'll have what I say. Amen. Hallelujah. Light bulbs should be going off to people. Oh, I better start saying some things. Yeah, you better. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We praise you. We're so grateful for this service this morning and what you have for us. Father, we thank you for what's already been imparted to us, Lord. The offering message about tithing and about saying that'll change our whole world if we do it. Within the first 10 minutes, Father, we've already had our life changed, praise God. Anything we receive from here on out is just icing on the cake. So, Father, we thank you for all you're going to do this morning, for what you're going to impart to us, for what you're going to say. Father, we ask that you would help me speak with boldness, with utterance, as the oracles of God. Like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. And Father, I thank you. I'll speak words in season and in life and blessing and encouragement to people this morning. And we'll walk out of here different. And we'll walk out of here changed. And Father, we give you the praise. And Father, we give you the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, the Bible says in John chapter 10, it says that the thief comes. And the thief comes to do a few things, to steal. Destructive thing, isn't he? And one of the most destructive and hurtful and things that can hinder people's lives and hinder, when people's lives are hindered, by the way, the kingdom is hindered. Back when I was bound with sickness, disease, depression, and poverty, a lot of the focus was on myself to get myself out of that, because what do they always say on the airplane? Before you help someone else with their mask, you got to make sure yours is put on. Right? That's the way it is with a lot of people in life, is when they're going through things and really struggling and really hurting in different areas, it's hard to be effective or efficient in the body of Christ. I mean, isn't that the way it is with your job? When you're sick, you're not as efficient. When life is hard and you're distracted and stuff, so it's natural. It's the same way spiritually. And one of the most debilitating things and the things that hinder Christians the most in their lives and also going forward and being good soldiers for Jesus is the area of sickness and disease. The devil would love to steal from you, and sickness and disease is one of the things that rob from people the most. But the good news is that God has an answer to sickness and disease. God's answer is called divine healing, praise God. It's a lot of what the world doesn't really know about. Rich, our resident superhero. Rich, we just wave your hand for those that don't know. Rich recently, you say, why is he a superhero? He got hit by a truck and came here like a couple days later. I mean, here he is out of the hospital, praise God. He's on a tractor, got hit by a truck, thrown off of it. Should have been dead, but he's not. He's there. You can touch him. Go touch him. He's real. That's not a hologram. That's the first thing when he came in the church. I want to touch him. I'll make sure, you know. And they said, you know, you'll be in the hospital for a month, you know, broken leg, broken arm and things. And Rich declared about divine healing, and it stopped the doctor in his place. And the doctor said, well, how do I walk into that? And he told him about what the word said about healing, and the doctor wanted no part of it. And I'm not trying to put the doctor on, but what I'm saying is the world has no idea what's available. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians have no idea what's available to them. Yeah. Hallelujah. In fact, in that whole test and trial, Rich had expressed, you know, how he did the word and used the word in healing and in faith and what he had learned in healing. And I think, my goodness, what about people that encounter situations, they have no idea what's available to them? A lot of people just think they accept what's thrown at them in life. That's just what happens. That's the genes of our family, and that's just the way it is. It's just not the way it is. And so, but to believe that, you know, we got to see what it says in the Word, because we can't have anything apart from the Word, or we can't believe for anything apart from the Word. If God wants us sick and is okay with us being sick, then that's what we have to accept when we are sick. If God wants us broke and defeated and poor, then that's what we have to accept. But if the Bible says something different, whatever the Bible says, we can have, praise God. And Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, so today we're going to look at God's take on healing. God's take on healing. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1, now see here, you might be saying, oh, I don't need this message, I'm in perfect health. Well, you know what, you might need it for another time. You know, the Navy SEALs, they don't start training when the battle comes to them. They're already trained, so when the battle comes, they're ready. And so when sickness and disease attempts to get on your body, because it will attempt to get on your body because there's a devil out there, you'll be trained and ready to go. And if you're going through it right now, it'll be a revelation to you that, hey, things can be different if you'll apply yourselves and do things in the way the Word says to do them. And so Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, when Jesus came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper, that's a sick person, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, or if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, or I am willing, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So we read this portion of Scripture, and praise God he got his healing. But Jesus had to correct some wrong thinking in him before he could get the healing to him. In verse 2, we see that wrong thinking. He said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. His issue wasn't, Lord, I know you can do it. His issue wasn't in the ability of God to heal. His issue was in the willingness of God to heal. Right. Most Christians don't have a problem with God's abilities. In fact, they take it over into a ditch, into a wrong place, and say God can do anything he wants to. He can't do anything he wants to. He's bound by his word. Hallelujah. He doesn't break his word. But most Christians are under the impression, yeah, God would be able to heal a sick body. There's nothing that God couldn't do. But they're not so sold out that God wants to direct that divine healing towards them. And Jesus had to deal with that. Because the reason is this. Faith, how many know faith is how you receive? Faith is how you receive. I'm sorry to tell you, just point blank, just trying to be completely blunt with you. Faith is how you receive. No sense of mincing words. No sense of trying to sugarcoat it. Faith is how you receive. James said that if you don't ask in faith, let not that man think they'll receive anything from God. So, you want healing, how do we get it? By faith. We get it by faith. But faith, and the idea of faith for healing, has to rest on more than mere ability. Right. Amen. Just because God is able to do something doesn't give you the confidence or the faith that you need to receive from Him. Now, the example I can think of would be this. If you drive by the Super Duper on the way home or another gas station if you go an opposite way, and you see people out pumping their gas, that tells you they have the ability to pay for their gas. Yeah. And more than likely, they probably have enough on that credit card or enough space on that credit card or enough in their wallet to put a few gallons in your tank. More than likely, right? When you go fill up gas, usually you'd have more to put a couple more gallons in or help somebody else out. You would. So you drive by and you see those people putting gas in their car, which tells you they have the ability to pay for that gas. And we assume that they probably have a little bit more to throw a gallon into our tank or to throw 2 gallons in our tank for a few bucks, right? We have that. Am I out in outer space here? Are you with me? So you drive by and you see them there. You see how they have the ability. You don't then pull in behind them and tell, wait a second, mine. What I'm saying is, even though you know they have the ability, you can pull in and hope they'll put gas in your vehicle. But you're not fully confident under those circumstances and situations and under that premise. When you pull in behind there with the idea that you're going to get your gas tank filled, you're not going to be fully confident that they're going to say, oh, sure, why not? Pull up, let's fill it up. Even though they have the ability to do so. Faith. Now, if somebody were to say to you, hey, meet me down at the Super Duper after. I want to fill your gas tank up. Well, they've told you I have the ability, but they've also told you I have the willingness to do it. And so then you would pull in the gas station with them there, and the situation in your mind would be much different than if you just drove by randomly and said, hey, they have the ability to put gas in their tank. They're going to put it in my tank. You wouldn't have much faith for that. But if someone says go down to the Super Duper after and you pull in, you know, I have full confidence that they're going to fill my gas tank because they said so. It's their will. It's the same with healing. And this guy said, Lord, I know you're willing, or I know you're able, but are you willing? It's the same thing. If we think God can do anything and he's able and there's nothing too hard for him and nothing's impossible for him, we preach that. He's a miracle working God. But when it comes to our personal life, and if it takes faith to receive, and what faith is, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, full faith is being 100% convinced of something that you can't see. Because the Bible says faith is the substance of things you're hoping for. That means they're not there. The evidence of what you can't see. That means there's nothing on the horizon. There's no medicine. There's no feeling in your body. There's no doctor's report pointing to the right direction. When you're in faith for healing, that means you don't have healing. That's why you're in faith for it, praise God. Fully confident. Now let me just take a little bit of a rabbit trail and help you with faith in other areas of your life. Because we say we're in faith, but let me ask you a question. I said this last time, I'll say it again. I didn't preach this sermon last day, but this came up and it's leading me into this today. Today is July 22nd, 2018. Do you know what you've never seen before? You've never seen the sun come up on July 23rd, 2018. Have you ever seen it? You've never seen the sun come up on July 23rd, 2018. It's never happened in the history of mankind. The sun has never once come up on July 23rd, 2018. But guess what? Every single person in here, even though they've never seen that happen, you are 100% certain that it's going to. That's what faith is. You can't see the sun coming up tomorrow, but you know it's going to. Amen. You're convinced. Nobody's going to talk you out of that. Well, that's what faith is. And that kind of faith that's required to receive, that Jesus had to correct his theology, you won't have, because again, you pull in, and just because somebody has the ability to pay for your gas doesn't mean they're going to. Doesn't mean they're willing to do so. Means you're going to pull into that gas station hoping, kind of being a little nervous, kind of want, feeling like a fool. Basically, it's so foolish, none of us would ever do it. That's how confident you are, is that you'd never do it. You'd never pull into a gas station with somebody that has the ability to pay, if they didn't tell you, and pull in confidently and ask them to pay for gas, or expect them to pay for your gas. It's that foolish. That's how low your confidence would be, so you don't even bother doing it. If we had the confidence that anybody at the gas pump would fill our gas tank, we'd always just be driving around the gas stations when our cars get low and trying to find someone pumping their gas. We'd pull in and they'd fill it. But you don't do that, even though they have the ability to do it. Why? Because faith has to rest on more than mere ability. In fact, faith begins, has a starting point, where the will of God is known. The minute you can have faith for somebody to fill your gas tank up started when in church they said, meet me down at the Super Duper, I'll fill your tank. Bam, your faith started. Okay. You've at that point, you came to church not having faith that your gas tank will get filled up. But at the point that they said, I will do that, it's the point that it began. It's the point that you believed my gas tank's going to look different after church, where the will of God is known. And so with healing, if we receive our healing by faith, and in the future if we need it, or if right now we're dealing with it and we need to do it by faith, the faith for healing is going to start where the will of God is known. Because yes, God is able, but you got to know that He's more than just able, praise God. Hallelujah. I remember, I'll tell my story here in a second, but remember the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. She had been sick for 12 years with an incurable blood condition. And she had stayed home and wasn't allowed to go out in public without making a scene, you know. She had spent all she had. The Bible says she was broke. She's obviously weak, being in that condition for 12 years. Obviously probably malnourished with all her money being gone, not being able to buy the right food and nourishment for her body and the right medicine and things like that. But the Bible says that something happened to that woman that day. She got so motivated and so fired up that she pressed through a crowd of people as a weak woman who had been sick for 12 years, bleeding out. We read the stories of Jesus and how many people were around him. She pressed through the shame of having to cry out unclean in public. She pressed through the shame of what people would think and what people would say about her. Something lit a fire under her that day. That day, something got her motivated to turn things around. Well, the Bible says, when she heard of Jesus. The contact point for her faith to begin was when she heard about Jesus, and in hearing about Jesus learned, this guy's a healer. And he heals all that come and believe. He doesn't play favorites. Somebody had told her, there's going to be a guy in town. He's got a healing ministry, and anyone that will come and believe. We know it had to be that she had to be told that it was about her faith, because when she went through the crowd, she kept saying, if I can touch him, if I can touch him, if I can touch him, I'll be whole. She knew she had a part in it. But the contact or the beginning part of that was when she heard of Jesus. I remember when I was in the hospital with my appendix, you know, and it had ruptured. It had been, my appendix ruptured for 3 days. The poison went through my body, and I was at a service in Jamestown. Almost collapsed, you know. I drove to the hospital after I left the service early and walked into the emergency room. Well, I'm a pastor of this church. So I'm a pastor of this church, you know, and collapsed on the floor of the emergency room. I fell right out. It was a sight to see, I'm sure. And I remember having that surgery and being so sick, and the doctors telling me different things because I'd waited so long, you know. I didn't do it on purpose, and I was in a bad place, you know, hurting pretty bad. And I remember laying there when I finally got off the medicine. I don't know if Grandma Alice still has the text, but I was texting her when I was all drugged up, and she got kind of a kick out of that. Keep them to yourself, or I'll tell on you. I'm tempted to tell on you right now anyways. I'm so tempted, Grandma, to tell on you. Praise God. People are wondering. I got to tell them. I got to, Grams. I got to tell them. One night I got a text from Grandma Alice, for those new people, you need to hear it, asking me if I want to come spend the night with her. And I wrote back, should I bring popcorn? I knew she sent it to the wrong person. She had meant to send it to her granddaughter, but when I wrote back, should I bring popcorn, she realized, oh my gosh, she said, yes, and Courtney, and Caleb. You might even have said the dog. So I told on Grandma. So now she's going to put my text out for the world to see. But when I came to from being so drugged up there and hearing what the doctor's saying, oh, they're real. When doctors tell you something, it's alarming because, I mean, they've spent their whole life in school learning. They know they're smart. They know what they're talking about. They're not lying when they say, this is what we see, this is what the report says. But the thing that got me out of that bed, hardly able to move, walking with my little IV cart, and just, I mean, every inch of me was in pain because I wanted to do something. I wanted to have a faith action. Amen. I wanted to, because I thought, you know, well people ought to be out of bed. Now, there's times you can't and you have to stay in bed, but I said, if I can do it, I'm going to get out of this bed. The thing that got me to walk around that room in the dark at night so quietly so the nurses didn't know. They wanted me to stay right there. If I remember right, I don't know if this is the truth. I think this is what happened. I think you taught me how to turn off the bed alarm. Grandma used to be a nurse. And they had me on a bed alarm because I wasn't allowed to get up and the thing would go off. And I think she taught me how to rig that thing or something. Anyways, I got out of bed and I was around it and I said, just quoting healing scriptures, I thank you, Father, my body's going to rebound in full restoration. Now, the thing that got me to do that, number one, was knowing it was not God's will that I stay like that. Amen. It was not God's will for me to experience what the doctors are saying I'm going to live the rest of my life. That same thing lit the fire under the woman. That same thing for the leper. When Jesus said, I'm willing, something triggered in him. Because we know Jesus could only heal based on people's faith. Most of the cases in the Bible, it was according to their faith. So Jesus had to get his faith in the right place. What got his faith in the right place? When Jesus said, I'm willing. I want to, praise God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. His will is found in his word. Healing, we have to understand this. His will on healing, this is important, is not found in circumstances. What do you mean by that? Well, it's not found in a faithful Christian that goes through a sickness or disease, and therefore your mind just comes to grips in terms with, if God's will was to heal, then that person would definitely be a candidate for healing. And because they're not healed, God's will must not be to heal people. Be careful with that. God's will on anything is not found in circumstances. God's will on anything is not found in people you respect and trust and love. Now, they might tell you God's will, but just because you trust, respect, look up to them, and love them does not mean that what they say is going to be biblical. Well, so-and-so, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, grandpa, mom, dad, pastor so-and-so said this. If pastor so-and-so isn't saying the word, don't matter what pastor so-and-so is saying. Amen. And it's not found in symptoms. What do I mean by that? Well, you're going through something and it hurts and it feels pain and you're suffering and you're feeling the effects of the sickness and disease. And it's because it's so real to you and because you've been with that condition and because you're living it every day, it just must be God's will that I stay this way, because if it wasn't God's will that I stay this way, he would just fix this whole problem. It's not found in that. God's will on healing is found in his word. Amen? Remember the pastor that fought me on divine healing? You'd be amazed at the religious people, the godly people that love the Lord, that are anti-divine healing. You'd be amazed. He said to me, I was going to go to that faith Bible school, you know, in Oklahoma, that believes in healing. He said, you know, divine healing is not of the Bible. I had been taught it was, you know. I thought, what's he talking about? He didn't give me any scriptures on it. What he gave me was a circumstance, a situation, an experience. He said, you know, sister so-and-so in my church, most faithful lady I have, or had, she wasn't there anymore, you know. He said, sweetest thing, love Jesus. And he went on. I don't doubt it. He said, she died, and God didn't heal her. Well, I don't know why she didn't get healed, but I know the word doesn't change because she didn't get healed. We don't know every situation, every circumstance, every behind-the-scenes thing of what's going on. So someday down the road, maybe if this turns into a series, and I'll see what the Spirit of God says, I'll show you in the word hindrances to divine healing. Why people don't receive their healing, okay? We'll look at some of those things. So we don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but he took a situation and a circumstance and tried to make it seem like healing wasn't of God because a faithful lady didn't receive it. That's the will of God, and healing's not found in a faithful person being sick or not sick. Go to Mark chapter 3 and verse 1 real quick. I want to tell you a quick story. See, you got to be careful because my job as a pastor is to keep people safe. That's why I said earlier, I don't give a rip what people say or think about me. Nobody's forcing you to be here. Right. Amen. But I will spout truth as long as you're here, you know. And a lot of people listen to mainstream Christian stuff. I'm not saying all of it's bad. I'm not. I'm talking about mainstream Christian radio, Christian television. And I'm here to tell you that the majority of what's out there mainstream is not sold out on the fact that every single situation, every single case, for every Christian, God's will every single time, without a shadow of a doubt, again, this is all backed up by the Word, is for that person to be completely free from that sickness in every situation. I don't care what famous worldwide minister gets up that's had a condition since they were younger and says, God gave me this condition to fulfill a purpose. It goes against everything the Bible teaches about divine healing, about who God is. I don't know why they have that condition. I don't know why they're in that situation. I'm not trying to say that I judge it or to say they're doing something wrong or why. I don't know. But I do know it's not God's will for any of His children to stay in a wheelchair. It's not God's will for any of His children to walk in sickness in their life. I don't care what Christian singer gets up and tells tens of thousands of people that God has a sense of humor and gave me ADD, and the crowd starts, woo! God does not give people ADD. There's nothing in the Word. God's not dishing out these things to us. And you'd be amazed. Why I say this is to keep you safe. Because if you're somebody, see, now I'll just tell you my take on it. People ask me, what should I listen to? I am so careful what I listen to. Actually, if you want to know what I listen to, I listen to my pastor, I listen to Pastor Nancy Dufresne, and I listen to Brother Hagin. That is my main feeding. Now, Reverend Greer is safe, and the people that we bring in here are safe, and there's times I'll read a book, but my main feeding come from three people, Pastor Nancy, Pastor Michael, and Brother Hagin. Why? I know I'm safe with those three people. Everything, just so you know, everything you'll ever need to know or everything you'll ever need can be found in those three people. It's true. I don't need to go searching for other things. It's dangerous. I know, because I used to listen to that stuff. And you hear these things, and it gets into your head. And you hear somebody, I won't use their name, but you hear someone, if I said their name, you'd know who I'm talking about. World famous, who says, God put me in this position for a purpose. Basically saying, God did this to me. It's backwards thinking. And you'd be surprised why I say this, is because religion, for some reason, see, when people say, are you religious? No, I hate religion. Religion is it's a spirit. A religious spirit is one of the hardest things to break in a person's life. Amen. Some reason, I know why it is, but I'll say it this way. Religion can't stand divine healing. Because a religious spirit is not motivated by God. A religious spirit is motivated by the devil. Well, the devil would love to keep Christians sick. A sick Christian is not a fully functioning Christian. A sick Christian is a Christian that has their joy robbed from them. Mark chapter 3 and verse 1, look at this, what it says about religious people. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man. See, this is called boldness and utterance to keep you safe from the junk you're listening to. I'm just telling you, when you hear these, well, they have a worldwide ministry. Yes, so what? Well, they're on TV, and they're on the radio, and they're on the radio every day, and hundreds of thousands of people listen to them. That doesn't make them right. Just the same way, because we're in a small church in South Dayton, doesn't make us wrong. Stop thinking that crowd size and church size are a measuring tool of what's right and what's wrong. It's not true. What's the measuring stick in every situation is the Bible. It's the Bible. Amen. Praise God. Said he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched Jesus. The religious people, they're in the synagogue, they're in the church. It says, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him. So they're standing back saying, oh, here's an interesting situation. We know he's a healer. And there's someone with a withered hand. Can't use their hand. Let's see what he does. Instead of hoping and using their faith and pointing Jesus in the direction of someone that could use a healing touch, they're standing back with a critical eye. And that's religion. He said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto him, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? Jesus knew their thoughts. And man, he came back with something. What can they say to that? And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved, people that do not believe in divine healing make him angry. Yeah. Because of the hardness of their heart, he said unto the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored, whole as the other. A miracle before their eyes. A guy who couldn't use his hand now can use both of them. It should have been a party. Should have been a celebration. It should have been so joyful. Amen. And the Pharisees, who are the Pharisees? The head religious leaders of the time. They're at the top of the top of the synagogue. Ain't nobody higher than the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. They didn't just were upset with it. It made them want to kill the healer. The religious people, the people that were godly. Yeah. I hear Christians say the most god-awful things about our Father. Think about the person that's in a sickness saying, God did that to me. You know what kind of an accusation that really is? If Caleb walks in here with a broken arm, and you all assume, oh, he must have fell off his bike or fell off a tree. You say, how'd that happen? Dad got mad at me and broke my arm and did it to me. Eyebrows would be raised. Mouths would fall to the floor. But yet God's own children say those things about him and are convinced that God did it to him. It's so backwards. It's so devilish. It's so devilish. I remember we have new people all the time, so that's why I tell some of the same stories over and over, but faith comes by hearing. I was in, maybe go too much detail, try to get out quick, but years ago when I was the youth group leader at the Jamestown Church, Pastor Tim's church, I was driving around on a Friday. We had Friday night youth group, and I was just praying. All of a sudden, I had a vision. I saw myself administering healing to somebody in the service, and I saw exactly what I was supposed to do, and I knew it was supposed to happen that night. Well, long story short, we get into the service, and during the salvation call, Lord speaks in my heart, clearly in my spirit comes up, that vision, that picture comes up to me, and I know I'm supposed to call somebody out. It was for an ear condition, and I was a little hesitant to do so because I knew all the kids there except for one of them, and I knew all the kids that were there, you know, they didn't have this problem, but the new kid, I said, I didn't know anything about this new girl, and I didn't know if I call something out, she'd be too embarrassed to come up anyway. So I'm, and sometimes we get in our heads, you know, live out of your heart, and I got in my head about, I'm just, you know, putting it off, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do it. Well, finally, that grieved the spirit so much, I was like, you know what, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight or the next night if I don't do this. So I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost, and I did. I said, okay, who's here? You have an ear condition. And I was shocked. I was shocked, you know, the new girl raised her hand. And she told me the stats of exactly how much hearing loss she had. One ear was like almost completely gone, and the other ear, I think it was like 40% hearing loss for her. I said, well, can I minister healing to you? I said, I was driving today, and I saw myself. I said, I didn't see who it was, but I saw myself in this service. A lot of times, Brother Hagin said he would see what he was supposed to do before he'd do it in a service, and then he'd go to the service and act it out, and he'd get the results the Holy Ghost was showing him. Well, the Holy Ghost shows us things to come. And so I called her forth, and I said, can I minister? I said, I saw myself taking my index finger and putting them in your ear and pulling out real quick and saying, in the name of Jesus, be healed. I said, can I do that? You don't get permission before you start sticking your fingers in people's ears. And you might say to yourself, why not just touch the top of her head? Well, why did Jesus spit in the mud and rub it in somebody's eyes? I don't know. That's what the Holy Ghost wanted at the time. I don't know. You hear about Smith Wigglesworth absolutely hauling off and hitting somebody and punching them as hard as they can, and people in the crowd going, oh! And a tumor falling off a body. You say, why did he do that? Because that's what the Holy Ghost told him to do. God's thoughts are not your thoughts. God's ways are not your ways. So I said, can I do that? And she said, yeah. So I did. I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. She dropped to her knees and started weeping. And I told the story. And I thought I hurt her, you know, because it was instantly. She dropped down and tears were flowing. And I thought I hurt her. I said, what happened? And she said, I can hear. I can hear. Now, she's brand new. And you know how, I don't know about you, but I remember being a teenager and being shy in front of new people and not being so outwardly, you know. There's times that people don't even want to raise their hand when eyes are closed and heads are bowed because they're so shy. Yet alone, dropping to your knees, crying, weeping uncontrollably, and praising God in front of other teenagers. That's what she did. In front of me. And so we all, I mean, it turned into the place went nuts. The kids went crazy. Just worshiping because they knew her, you know, from school and knew the situation she had. She said, I can hear. I don't have any hindrances. And we tested it. Little quiet sounds and things. I hear everything. Amen. She went off in the corner and we put some people with her, you know, and we went on and made dino nuggets. You know, that's what you eat in youth group. Chicken nuggets shaped like dinosaurs. That's why you got to go to youth group. They have all the good food. And made dino nuggets. She didn't want to eat. She just stayed over in the corner with some people and just praised God. She was so moved by it. But my point is this. I never saw that girl again until a couple years ago at the mall. She was wrapping presents for the company that she was in. They were doing a charity thing. Her parents got wind of it, that we ministered healing to her, and that her ears were completely healed. They said, you're never going back to that church ever again. It happened. Well, the Pharisees here saw Jesus heal a man, his hand get whole, and they're trying to kill him because of it. You got to be careful. When you start hearing things that are against divine healing, it's not the Spirit of God. That's a warning to you, praise God. Go to Exodus 15 and verse 26. Exodus 15 and verse 26. And he said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and will do which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought in the Egyptians. I'm going to explain that part of that verse in a second. But look at the end of the verse says, for I am. He says, I am this, the Lord that healeth thee. Amen. Now you've heard Pastor Mike say, God doesn't give you ADD, God doesn't give diseases, but the Bible says here that God put diseases on the Egyptians. Well, you have to understand some things about Bible translation. And again, I don't have an agenda. Either God's a healer or he isn't. Right. But the truth is, men and women translated the original manuscripts from Hebrew and Greek. And so it would look like there that God does put sickness on people in certain cases. But you have to take the whole counsel of the whole Bible to interpret the Bible. And there's a couple verses we'll look at in the New Testament that clearly... Anyways, you interpret the Bible by the New Testament, not the Old Testament. The New Testament interprets the Old because the Old Testament was written even from a certain standpoint. Even the things Job said was, because he was ignorant, what Job said was wrong. And so when they write this here, when it's written, God gave the diseases, actually in the original manuscripts, if you can study this out, it's true. In the Hebrew, the verbs can either be in the causative sense or the permissive sense. What I mean is causative means that it was caused to happen, or permissive sense if it was allowed to happen. The way the translator translated this, and again, you can look in other verses of the Old Testament to see this is the case, and I could just point out a few things for you to help you, because you might think, well, if he put the disease on the Egyptians, why weren't he going to put diseases on me? Well, number one, you're not an Egyptian, you're a child of God. Just that's number one. Minor detail. Just a small one. The Egyptians were sinners. walking outside the covenant of God. They were. And what did he say to people? He said, I put before you death and life, blessing and cursing. It's up to you. You pick. It's your choice. What does the New Testament tell us? The wages of sin is death. Yeah. So they opened the door. But anyways, these verbs should have been translated in the permissive sense, that not that God put the diseases on the Egyptians, but that God allowed the diseases to come upon the Egyptians because they walked into sin and opened the door. But regardless if you want to believe that or not, you're still not an Egyptian. Small detail. He says in the rest of the verse, I am something. I'm not the Lord that maketh you sick. I'm not the Lord that putteth diseases on you. I am the Lord that healeth you. Amen. He's saying to the world, this is who I am, praise God. I am the Lord who healeth you. Why do people try to argue that? When I stand up here and say, I'm a boy, none of you say, no. Pastor, you're not a boy. Come on. I am. Come on. Yeah. I'm white. Oh, you are? You don't argue with that. I'm Caucasian. Yeah. Because I am that. And you don't argue with it. So why do people, his children, when he says, I am, he starts saying, I am. He's saying, oh, I don't know about that healing stuff. We don't argue with you. You say you're something. It's true. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Why do people? Stop trying to tell God he's something that he's not. Exodus 23:25, talking about God's will on healing. A lot of different utterance here this morning. And it seems like in my spirit right now, I'll pray it out, but it seems like we'll probably go into a series on this. But anyways, it says in verse 25, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from your midst. Amen. It's his will. It's kind of like if I said, you said, Pastor, will you go out to lunch with me? I will. I'll meet you there. You drive to lunch, he ain't coming. I know he said he would, but he's not coming. Nah, he said he will. Liar. That's what it's like. And God said, I'll take it away. Oh, I don't know if God wants to take the sickness away. He just said he would. Just said he would. Psalms 103, verse 1. Praise the Lord. He said, I don't need healing. Well, you might someday. Psalms 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. We sang that today. Amen. That's where they got that. I knew that. I'm just kidding. Bless his holy name. Sometimes my sarcasm slips out. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget. Don't forget all his benefits. You know there's benefits to serving God? Amen. Benefits. What are benefits? Good things. When you got my first job I got with benefits was amazing. Wow, there's not only a paycheck, but there's extra that comes with this. He says, what's the benefits? Who forgives all your iniquities? Now, that's the benefit that we focus on a lot, isn't it? Yeah. Let me tell you something. If you have someone in your family or if you're sick here today and things in your body, it's not God's will for that thing to stay. Right. And you need to get your mind renewed because that thing needs to go. Amen. I'm telling you. You say, well, yeah, but we've faced it for this long. So what? God wants your tomorrows to be different. And it takes your faith to do so. So maybe you need to get your faith renewed a little bit and strengthened. But he says, who forgives all your iniquities. Praise God for that. We're thankful. But there's more benefits. Amen? Amen. My first job, the benefits, it had not only personal days, it had also vacation days. It had insurance. It had more than one benefit. With God, there's more than one benefit. Amen. Forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Amen. Oh, Pastor, I'm facing something that they say there's no cure for. All your diseases. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Psalms 107, verse 20. God's willingness to heal is found in His Word, not in a situation, not in a symptom, not in a circumstance, not in an opinion, not in a radio program, and not on a television show. It's found in His Word. And their biggest argument is, like that minister said, if that's the case, why is this like this? Well, my question back to them always is this. Is it God's will that everybody go to heaven? Is that what God wants? Yeah. Oh, absolutely. The Bible's clear. It says He's not willing that any should perish. He said, whosoever believes. So God made it a gift that anybody could receive. It's His will, isn't it? Does everybody go to heaven? No. But I thought it was God's will. If it was God's will, that means everybody would go to heaven. No. Just because it's God's will to heal doesn't mean everybody will be healed. Same thing. See, so when people point to, well, healing can't be because of this. Well, that's the same way with salvation. You could use the same argument for salvation, but we know it doesn't hold up. Right. Psalms 107, verse 20. He sent His word and healed them. Amen. He sent it. I've yet to have anybody at gunpoint walk me to my mailbox and force me to mail a letter. Come on. I always walk to the mailbox and put the letter in and put the little red flag thingy up and send that letter on my own free will. He sent His word. He initiated it. He set the ball in motion. His idea, His word, and healed them. Praise God. Go to Matthew 9:35. We're almost done here. The willingness of God to heal, because that's the first place you need to get if you're sick here. The place that your faith is going to start is knowing that you know that you have God behind you. That God's backing you. If they said your kid has a learning disability, bam, here's your hope. If they said your kid has a problem, let me help you here real quick. Because this is what the devil tries to do with twisting this stuff. I had somebody say to me, well, I have this and God is using it for His purposes, and it's almost like when you preach on divine healing, we're saying that you have something wrong with you if you're sick. We're not saying that. But we're saying that which is out of order in your life, which is sickness, which you'll learn in this series, doesn't have to stay. I don't care that God can use you from a wheelchair. Being out of it is much better. I don't care that God can use you with a learning disability. No doubt He can. But it's much better not having one. I don't care that God can use you if you're depressed and full of anxiety and fear, but it's better to be out of that thing. It becomes almost, and people that go through things, they have temptation to get offended because no doubt you've gone through things. It's been tough and it's been hard, but you got to be careful. You got to have an attitude towards sickness like Jesus did and not coddle that thing. I'm not trying to be mean, or I'm just saying some people, they take it up as their cause that this is my thing. Life would be better if that thing was not in your life. I'm not saying God has not used things. I'm not saying God has not blessed you in the midst. But don't tell me it's better to be sick. Don't tell me it's better to be broken. It's not. Amen. And again, it doesn't matter what I say. Well, go to Romans chapter 5. I got to clear this up now so people don't get mad at me. I'm serious. Romans chapter 5. I had someone so deceived in their mind tell me they were thankful for the sickness they had. Wait, what? What? You're thankful? Life would be better without it. I think a lot of times people that don't know faith, it eases their conscience to think that God gave it to them. Let me say that again. People that don't know the word, when they're sick, it eases their conscience to go through that to think that my loving Savior has a purpose for this for me. But we can't judge God and His willingness by that circumstance, by our thoughts, by the Word is how we judge it. Has anyone here ever had the Word totally upend your theology? Me! Well, the true mark of growth in a Christian is when your theology gets upended by the Word of God, and no matter what your thoughts are saying, no matter what your feelings are saying, it's kind of like the person, and I don't preach on this a lot. For those of you that know, are here, you know I don't. It's kind of like the people when it comes to things like homosexuality. The Bible's clear on it. Yeah. Now, Christians ought to act a certain way. A lot of Christians act like idiots and are mean and hurtful and condemning and judgmental. And it but the Bible's clear on what God's take on it is. Right. But because people have been taught things and have such strong feelings and opinions, when you tell them what the Word says, oh, no, you can't accept that. Well, that's what you have a choice out of. Same with the divine healing. Yeah, but I was under the impression that God gave me this for a purpose. Well, the mark of true spiritual growth is renewing your mind to what the Bible says, that you throw out what you think. You throw out what you feel. You throw out what your opinion is. You throw out what grandma thought. What does God's Word say? And if God's Word upends my theology, so be it. I don't care if I've been taught wrong for 40, 50, 60, 70 years. If on the 71st year I find out... That's where people get into trouble. They mix their opinions and their emotions and their feelings into it. The Word is the measuring stick and the measuring line against those things. Because our feelings are strong. Our thoughts can be strong. Opinions can be strong. People can be well respected. People we look up to. People that helped us. People that got us to places in life can say things that are contrary to this, and it confuses us. Your job is to go with the Bible. And when it comes to sickness and disease, don't coddle that thing. And when you see later in this series, you're going to see your Savior died a pretty stinking horrific death so you wouldn't have to have it. Yeah. Paid for it all. Died for it all. I mean, He went through such hell on that cross because the sickness of the world was put on Him. That thing that you're thinking that God gave you, no, Jesus died so you wouldn't have to have it. That's why I said you got to be a bulldog when it comes to this. Nobody's saying you haven't gone through things. Nobody's saying it's not been tough. But don't sit there and accept that and get to a point where your mind gets translated to, I'm glad we have this. Jesus died so you wouldn't have to. Amen. Romans 5 and verse 17 says, for if by one man's offense, when Adam and Eve sinned, death reigned by the one. Death was never God's intention. Well, let me ask you. Sickness and disease. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, it says, for many are weak, and then goes on to say, sick and sleep among you. So there's a progression. They get weak, they get sick, and then they die. What's previous to death? Sickness. Death reigned by sin. My point is this. The root of sickness and disease is the devil. Doesn't mean if your kids are going through some sickness or you're going through some sickness that you're obeying the devil. Doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong. I'm not saying that. But the root of all sickness and disease is found in this verse. Death or sickness didn't enter into the world until sin entered in. So why am I saying that? Sickness is trespassing on the Christian's life. And you ought to get so angry and upset and motivated that this does not belong on my body. Right. Amen. Amen. Go with me to Acts 10 and verse 38. So I don't know if I can believe that, Pastor, that all sickness is the root of... That's what the Bible says. Acts 10, 38. It's amazing how the devil will twist things so people actually argue and say, no, God put me in this wheelchair. No, God gave me this disease that causes me not to be able to learn very good. And no, He didn't. And He's got help for it. Amen. And you might think, now again, let me address this thought, because you thought, well, I don't know, I've been through this. We've tried doctors, we've tried medicine. We're not talking about doctors in a minute, so we're talking about the Lord that heals you. Amen. He said, I'll heal all your diseases. So anything that's impossible, He says, I'll heal it. Amen. But if you stay in doubt and unbelief on it, you stay in accepting of it, it won't go anywhere. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, wait a minute. God anointed Him. That means God gave Jesus a supernatural ability to do what? With the power and the Holy Ghost, to go about doing good And notice this. Healing how many?
All.
All. God gave Jesus a power to go around and heal how many?
All.
That were oppressed. Remember, if they're getting healed, that means they were what? Sick. If they were to be in a healing category, you had to once be sick. So they were sick before they got healed. Sickness we talk about is an oppression. Life is better when you're not sick. I feel like people are looking at me like I'm an idiot. Is it true or not true? Life is better when you're not sick. Okay, thank you. Feel like we're on the same page now. God gave Jesus a supernatural power to go about and to heal people that were sick, and they were sick because they were oppressed by the devil. Tells you right there where sickness and disease, the root is it. Where is it from? And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Amen.
It could be found in his word, but in closing, let me just say this real quick. Other way you can look at the willingness of God to heal, because why do you need to know it's God's will to heal? Because that's the beginning point to your faith to get healed.
Amen.
Your kids are going through something, they've been diagnosed with something, the thing that's going to light a fire and you're just going to know, God's behind me. God doesn't want this anymore. He's the all-powerful one and he'll help me.
Amen.
Yeah. And so, the willingness of God to heal can be seen in Jesus. Because remember in John chapter 5, Jesus said, I only do what I see him do. I'm only here to do his will. He basically said, I'm a God robot.
Amen.
That's what he said in John 5:19. He said, whatever you see me do, it's because that's what the Father wants me to do.
Amen.
Whatever you see me say, it's because that's what the Father would say.
Amen.
The business I conduct on this earth is the will of the Father. Didn't he say that?
Yes.
Well, what does Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35 say? Acts chapter 10 said he went around healing all. Well, if Jesus was healing all, I guess it's God's will to what? Heal all.
Amen.
Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all the cities, villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing.
Amen.
Every sickness and every disease among the people. If Jesus was going around healing the people, it's only because the Father wanted him to do that. Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Praise God. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had sick with divers or different various diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them and healed them.
Amen.
I get chills and tears start getting ready to well up because they think about the compassion and the mercy in our God, and yet he gets accused of making people sick. And the sadness I feel for people that go about in a situation and think that God did that to them. What tormenting thought that is.
Yeah.
That God made me this way, that God wants this for me, that God's not interested. That's tormenting.
Right.
Because if God doesn't care, then it doesn't matter. Then you're stuck. 3 John verse 2 is the last verse we'll look at. 3 John 2. I think it was like 18 minutes ago I said we're almost done. So I guess that's what it means. So when I say we're almost done, just add 18 minutes. That's what I did. I don't mean to lie to you. 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish, or my will above all things is that you would prosper and you'd be healthy.
Amen.
It's the Father's will for you to be healed. It's a starting point to lighten a fire under you. Say, you know what, this thing I'm dealing with, it doesn't belong here. And I got the greatest backing ever, my Father God. And a lot of us need to renew our minds just because we've been brought up in religious teaching. We've been brought up in things that are not biblical at times and things that are told us. We need to renew our mind to the Word. Stop thinking about grandma and sister so-and-so who went through sickness. We don't know their situation. Did they ever renew their mind? Did they ever grow in faith? Yes, they might have loved the Lord, but loving the Lord is not the same as faith.
Right.
It's not.
Right.
We're not coming against them, but I'm just saying you can't use situations. I saw so-and-so suffer, and they loved Jesus. It doesn't matter.
Right.
He doesn't say you receive promises of God through love for him.
Right.
You don't overcome in this world by your love for God.
Right.
It's your faith.
Amen.
Very sincere, wonderful people are bound with sickness and disease. It's not God's will. But you can't use that situation and say, can't be God's will. If it was, Amen? Were you helped?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Father, you are so good and so wonderful, so merciful and so kind. Lord, you are a healer. That word in the Hebrew, for I am the Lord that heals thee, is Jehovah, the Lord God, Rapha, the Lord God that heals you, the great physician. Father, it is your will that your children walk in divine health. Father, I have two children, and my will for my two children is that all the days of their life they would walk in health and vitality and strength in their body. Now, Father, if there are people here this morning that are dealing with things in their body, if there are people that are dealing with things in their children and they've been told things and diagnosed things, Father, I pray that their eyes would be opened to the fact that there's a way out, that there's an escape. Father, the Word will work in any situation. I pray that their eyes would be open to divine healing and they wouldn't let the length of how long they've suffered and how the doctor's reports and what they've read on the internet, I pray that that would not trump that you said, I'll heal everything. All the diseases, even the impossible ones, even the ones there's no cure for. Father, I pray their eyes would be open, Lord. Their eyes would be opened in Jesus' name to that. Father, we worship you with heads bowed and eyes closed. If there's anybody in this building right now, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. As I look around, I'll just go ahead and finish this out. If there are people listening on live stream as well or in the future on an archive. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's better than healing. Going to heaven's better than healing. If it was a choice of living sick on this earth, but I get heaven, if that was what choice I had to make, I'd choose heaven. But that's not a choice we have to make. But I'm just saying, heaven trumps healing. So the greatest promise ever given to us was Jesus and salvation. And the way we receive Jesus is the same way we receive healing. We believe it and we receive it. You believe in Jesus and then you receive Him into your life. If you're here with heads bowed and eyes closed and you could say, I do believe in Jesus, but I've never received Him. Well, that's how you go to heaven. Is there anybody here with nobody looking around? You've never done this before. Now, if you had a bad week, a bad month, a bad year, but you've already done this, all you got to do is ask Him to forgive you. He didn't take it away. Is there anybody here that wants to receive Jesus for the very first time? Would you just lift your hand? Anybody at all in the service that has never done that? Father, I'm not surprised that we don't see any hands in here. That's kind of what I was thinking. But Lord, there might be people listening right now or listening in the future that never received Jesus. And I pray that you would not pass from this life. All you have to simply do is believe in Him. Confess your belief for Him. Just say, Lord, I do believe in you. Can't explain everything maybe, but I believe in my heart you're real. You died and rose again. And confess it with your mouth. Receive Him. And say, Lord, come into my heart. If you'll do that, the Bible says you're saved. And I encourage you to get hooked up in a Bible-teaching church that will teach you the Bible, show you God's way, show you God's truth. Let's just rejoice and worship Him before we close. Make sure that He doesn't want to do anything else. Give Him place. Father, we love you. We honor you and magnify you and praise you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you, Father. We magnify you. We glorify you. We thank you for healing. We thank you for healing. Thank you for healing, Father. Is there anything you want done, Father, before we close? Maybe this check in my heart is just to worship you and to love on you. Lord, if there's anything, I pray that you would declare it unto me. Father, we're not trying to put on a show, but Father, we want to do what you want done. Lord, we love you. Folks, let's praise Him. I mean it. Let's praise Him. Let's lift our voice and praise Him. Worship Him. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you don't want us sick. Thank you. We might be sick in body right now. We might be feeling the effects of it. But Father, I thank you that you didn't do it. I thank you that you don't want that thing to stay. You're not okay with it, Father. And that gives me motivation. That gives me, that lights a fire under me, Father. I thank you, Lord. And I worship you and I praise you. And I bless you. I can't get away from this, and so I'm just going to call this out. In my spirit, it's like I see a human body. I can't explain it. In English, the way I'm seeing it is the way I'm seeing it, but a part of the body is just like shaded in and just, and it's the back of the neck, right along here. If you're having problems in your neck, come forward and get, there's an anointing for that to be healed. It's just right here, it's throbbing and throbbing and throbbing and throbbing and throbbing and throbbing and throbbing. That's why I wanted to pray and worship God more, make sure it just wasn't me. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. When hands are laid on you, that is the contact point of faith. That is when Mark 11:24 happens. Whatsoever things you pray, when you pray, believe that you receive. Believe that you receive and you'll have them. And so today when we lay hands on it, this next thing is done. It's done. You got to receive it and grab it by faith right now. I guess God knew what he was talking about.
Amen.
Grab it by faith when we pray and lay hands on you. And your job from this point forward for this place is say, I receive my healing. On July, whatever date I said it was, 22nd or whatever it was, say, I receive my healing. I receive my healing. Why? Because whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, right now, when the hands laid on you, when we're praying, believe you receive it. Say, well, I walk back to my seat, I still feel it. Doesn't matter. Well, I go to bed at night, it don't matter. I wake up in the morning, it's worse. It don't matter. You just continue to say. It's like the time Brother Hagin talked about the woman that had the growth on her face. And she came up and the thing was humongous and he laid hands on her. And he said, now you believe. He said, you go out of here. And every time you think of it, every time you look in the mirror, every time a thought comes, you say, Father, I thank you, that thing's gone. Day one went by, still there. Day two went by, still there. Most people say, oh, it didn't work. Day three, it went by, it's still there. And she's saying, I thank you, I received my healing. On such and such a date, I received my healing. Day four, it's still there. Day five, it's still there. Day six, it's still there. But day seven, it's still there. And she's still saying, when she looks in the mirror, I received my healing. Because it doesn't matter what I see, because faith isn't about what I see. Day eight, it's still there. Day nine, it's still there. Looks like the prophet, the mighty man of God. Nothing happened. Day 10, she stays stout, digging in. I thank you in the name of Jesus. It's gone. If you won't faint, you'll reap from this prayer right tonight, or right this morning. We'll start down here. In the name of Jesus, be free from that. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Be free from that. In the name of Jesus, be free from that. In the name of Jesus, from the head to the toes. In the name of Jesus, be free from that. We command that thing to go from the head to the toes. In the name of Jesus, be free from that. Be free from that, head to toe. We command sickness and disease to go. It can't stay. In the name of Jesus, not on my authority, in the name of Jesus. I'm not some big shot. I don't have any healing powers. I'm a nobody. But with Jesus, man, I'll tell you what, there's anointing. In the name of Jesus, be free, Grandma. Receive it from the head to the toe. In the name of Jesus, receive that. Receive that. Hallelujah. Receive that. Hallelujah. Stand behind Jeff here. You ready to receive your healing? You ready? In the name of Jesus, receive it. Praise God. From the head to the toe. Let's just rejoice and thank Him. Thank you, Lord. Say, is this biblical? Well, the Bible says if you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. That means it might not be a day. It might not be 2 days. It might be a little bit. Father, we thank you. Let's just rejoice and worship. For those of you that just had hands laid on you, your job now is, thank you, Father, my neck's healed. Thank you, Father, my neck's healed. Thank you, Father, my neck's healed. Thank you, Father, I received my healing. Thank you, Father, when Pastor Mike laid hands on me, the power of God went in me. Praise God, we worship you. We thank you, Lord. Stick with it. Stick with it. Yep. You struggle with, not every once in a while, but consistently with headaches. God wants to free you from that right now. Don't wait. Headaches, come forward. Don't wait. Consistent headaches. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Brother, it's time to get free from that. That's not what God wants for you. It's hindering, isn't it? It hinders you. God doesn't want that. In the name of the Lord Jesus, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, we command healing from head to toe. Headaches, you have to go. You can't stay. In the name of Jesus, Joe, it's time to get free from this, Father. In the name of Jesus, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, we command the healing of power of God to go through him. Now, the Bible says when hands are laid on, you will recover. Your job is now to go forward and say, I thank you, I received it. Not because of me, but because of him. We thank you, Lord. These gentlemen are free from headaches. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I'm just waiting on God to make sure there's nothing more. Say, Pastor, do you just call things out in hope? No, I'll wait to hear from heaven. The results are much better that way. Confirm His word with signs followed. We preached on healing. It's no surprise that He would do healings in front of us. And I encourage those of you, just like Rich gave me his testimony, and we'll share as we're led to what we want to share on that, but it's a miracle, you know. Let me know when things change and things happen so we can let people know. And they will. Stay with it. If you wake up tomorrow, it's 10 times worse. Rejoice, for healing is yours. Praise God. Father, we love You and praise You. Glorify Your name. Father, if there's nothing else, I'll shut this thing down. But Lord, if there's something else You want to do, we don't want to hinder You because we're ready for lunch or because we're getting impatient. Is there anything else You want to do, Father? Father, I just worship You and praise You. Thank You for Your mercy and I thank You for Your goodness. Now, if you didn't have your... say, well, man, I have something and I didn't get called out. That's just one way to receive healing. You can receive healing just by faith in your seat right there. Just by saying, Father, I believe in healing. I believe what Pastor said. This is just a way to transmit an anointing and different things. But there's lots of different ways to get healed. So don't walk away thinking, oh, He didn't call it out. Must be, I have to live with this. No, you don't. Your faith can get that done.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah. And if you're in faith for something and something gets called out, don't sit in your seat and think, well, I'm believing God. This was your manifestation of the power being in context. A lot of times people think, well, if we're talking about specific things being called out, praise God, there's a healing anointing and your heart says, go forward. That's you receiving what you've been believing for.
Right.
Let's thank Him one last. Let's stand to our feet and thank Him. We worship You, Lord. We praise You. We magnify. We thank You for signs and wonders. Headaches and neck pain, You're gone. Not allowed to stay. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. No Wednesday. Don't forget. We'll see you next Sunday. You're dismissed.
Your presence now here with us, the sound of praise, all in the name Jesus Christ, the one who saves, the shout of the King, the Son of God. Your presence now here with us, the sound of praise, all in the name Jesus Christ, the one who saves. this God.